Money FM 89.3, the best of the afternoon update. Market View on Money FM 89.3.
Alrighty, welcome to Market View. It's market wrap of the week with me, Hongbin Jung. And before we find out how the STI fared in the past week, let's take a look at how the STI is faring. At the moment, it's currently up in the green. It's up 0.7% at 3,154 points. We have advancers well outnumbering decliners, 299 to decliners at 175 after 787 million securities worth 509 million Singapore dollars changed hands so far. So to find out how the STI fared in the past week and what moved markets, joining me on the phone today is Jeff Howie, who's a market strategist at the SGX. Jeff, welcome back.
Yeah, thanks so much, Hongbin. Great to be here.
Great to have you on. So it looks like the STI is currently in the green at the moment. How did the STI perform this week?
I guess most of the week has been spent in a relatively narrow trading zone of between 31,000 and 31,500. I guess we are up a little bit. We're up around 0.5%. And as you said before, pretty much at the top end of that range at the moment at 31.53. So STI, yeah, moderate gains, but IHS REIT Index, I guess, did double up the returns of the STI. That's gained 1.1% on the week.
I see. So who would you say were the biggest movers on the STI this week?
So the biggest gainer, definitely Yangtze Jiang Shipbuilding. Mm. It's up around 4.5% at lunchtime for the week. No new news really for the stock, but did report its attributable FY23 or 2023 profit last year surged 57% from 2022. That was previous week, and that was on the back of robust revenue growth in their shipbuilding sector. I guess what did happen going into this week was UOB Kai Yan's Adrian Low, he did up his target price on the stock from $1.92 to $2.19, and that sees the consensus 12-month target price now at $2.03, and the stock, where's it trading now? $1.88. So after Yangtze Jiang Shipbuilding, the next three best performers were all REITs. Fraser Logistics Commercial Trust, Capital Land Integrated Commercial Trust, and Mapletree Industrial Trust. So as we said before, the S-REIT Index had actually doubled up the gains of the STI. On the other side, Seatrium declined around 5% this week, and the stock, it does tend to be a mover, though. On a week-to-week basis, it has been averaging around 4% swings over the past year, and that obviously coincides with the tradability of the stock, given that currently each 0.1 cent tick move does actually represent a 1% move. So obviously, and Seatrium has its invested day, I think, slated for next week, next Friday.
I see. So, I mean, Jeff, China was, of course, in big focus this week with its biggest political gathering of the year underway. Was Singapore's market largely impacted by what was announced as well?
Yeah, there wasn't much impact, though, Hongbin. It was big focus, but not so much big moves in the China stock market, which obviously infers there weren't too many surprises. Mm-hmm. The GDP target was going to be obviously the most watched item, easy item to watch, and that 5% growth rate was again targeted. But I think what was an interesting highlight and what has carried through in the state media, China Daily and so forth, is that support being expected by legislators and advisors and so forth to boost new technology, advanced machinery, to make the China manufacturing sector more competitive and greener. So I think that's one that's going to be very interesting to watch.
I see. And based on what was announced, will there be any future benefits for SGX-listed China-focused ETFs going forward? I mean, which ETFs are likely to be impacted from the slew of new targets set by China?
Yeah, look, the exchange, we currently list 11 China-focused ETFs. So you have 9 of those investing in stocks, 2 of them investing in China government bank bonds. Mm. Those 9 China equities-focused ETFs, they track large and mid-cap Chinese companies that, you know, can be listed globally, they can be pure A-share plays. And you also got these tilts to growth-orientated indices. So that provides some choice for the investors on how to tilt their China exposure. The China-based equities ETF, which has the most assets under management, is called the Lion Global OSPL Hang Seng Tech ETF. It has a code of HST. When you look also, I guess, from the new targets and the current state of affairs or current state of union, China is still contributing 30 cents to every dollar in the total value of global manufacturing. It still remains the globe's biggest exporter. It has become global leader in automobile exports, obviously. It surpassed Japan last year in its exports. Mm-hmm. It has also invested heavily in renewable energy sources such as solar panels, wind turbines and batteries. And companies in such industries are also captured in our NICOAM STC electric vehicle and future mobility ETF that has a code of EVS for electronic vehicle Singapore, for the Singapore dollar counter. But I think most professional investors, they remain focused on the fundamentals, as you say, new targets, new policies, looking to have access to the exposure in those sectors that are associated, I guess, with the high quality growth initiatives, more so than looking to catch some of the tailwinds of the state buying that we've seen earlier in the year. And we also list a good 80 stocks that report more than half of their revenue to China. That does not include Yangtze Jiang Shipbuilding, which we talked about just before. Although it's Jiangsu based, it has international customers, so it reports, I think, less than 15% of its revenue to greater China-based shippers. So investors have a lot of choice when it comes to the ETFs, as well as using stocks as well to manage their China exposures.
I see. Well, you know, other than China, also on the key watch list for investors was the congressional testimony of Fed Chair Jerome Powell. And I mean, as widely expected, he said that the Fed won't be rushing rate cuts, but still expects a few cuts this year. How did markets react?
Yeah, a little bit more dovish, to sum it up, than hawkish. So the Fed chair confirmed the Fed funds rate is likely at peak. Markets have priced that in for some time now, but it is one point the market did take well as confirmation. And thus that week was marginally more dovish, as I said. The two-year U.S. Treasury yields this week have come off marginally from, I think, 4.53 to 4.51%. 10-year U.S. Treasury yields came off a little bit more from 4.18% to 4.09%. And at the same time, U.S. dollar index also came off about 1%. The decline in the US dollar index basically was able to leave Asia to its own intrinsic drivers more so this week. So TAIEX led the region, 5% gains for that index. TSMC rallied around 15%. But on the other side, Hang Seng Index is on the other side, of the leaderboard, I think, with a 1.6% decline. So in our tech segment over the week, we also saw some moderate gains, or a little bit mixed, though. Venture was up from $14 to $14.12. UMS was actually down 2 cents to $1.36. AEM was up 6 cents to $2.30 so far this week. Franken Group is up 7 cents on the week to $1.72. And banks, I guess, what we look at closely, obviously, with the rates, they have that trade-off in their net interest income, obviously a trade-off between net interest margins and loan growth, as touted by the CEO of DBS. They were up marginally this week, up about 0.6% on average, while the IHS REIT index, as we said, was up more than that. Back to, I guess, the Fed and the Fed chair. He did note that, he did qualify his narrative with a proviso that the FOMC does need to see greater confidence that inflation is moving sustainably towards 2%. So it wasn't a strong positive reaction across the asset classes, just a marginal to moderate one.
I see. So how soon are you expecting rate cuts now, Jeff?
I think most markets currently think June, or the June FOMC is the most likely time, after which there will be 4 more meetings. And by the end of the year, majority expectations on average have been that there could be around 100 basis points in cuts. UOB think a little bit less, around 325 basis points for a 75 basis point cut in total. A lot hinges, obviously, on inflation. PCE core deflator is at 2.8% now. Between now and the 12th of June FOMC, you're going to have 3 releases. You'll have the Feb, the March, and the April PCE core deflator released. And if that momentum that we've seen right back from October 2022 to January continues, then your PCE core deflator will be around 2.4-2.5% come June FOMC. Now, that still may not be seen as, quote, sustainably moving enough to 2%. So you'll also see more attention on the growth indicators and the wages in the US labor markets to get extra confirmation on when that time might be. Mm-hmm. But if you're using modeling, simple modeling based on the momentum of those 16 months, October 2022 to January 2024, you've basically got PCE core deflator potentially hitting 2%, 2.0% in the month of June, with data for the June month usually released at the end of the following month. So that would be at the end of July.
I see. Are there any key S-REITs that stand to benefit from when the U.S. starts to cut rates?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's one big overarching driver that's impacting not just REITs, obviously, but financial costs across the entire stock market. But yeah, you're obviously looking at those S-REITs that have been more negatively impacted from the tighter financial conditions. Mm-hmm. But nonetheless, as we said, it's still some time to go until we do have the change. And in that reason, for that reason, we're looking intrinsically at the REITs and the REIT sectors, you know, depending on where they have their revenue exposure, what property assets they're at, what their gearing ratios are, their occupancy rates, their rental reversions and so forth. So still a lot to focus on within the REIT sector. It's the 8th today, so we've got another week of trading. And then after that, we'll actually have Emprador leave the STI and Fraser's Centrepoint Trust will actually join the STI on the start of business on the 18th of March. Yeah, so that will have an approximate 0.8%, so 0.8% weight. It will take the number of REITs in the STI back to 7, and that will bring their combined weightage in the STI to around 12.5%. And Fraser Centrepoint Trust is the second Fraser-sponsored REIT to join the STI after Fraser Logistics Commercial Trust. It's also going to be the first Singapore pure play in terms of revenue or income to join the STI in 8 years. And the previous was Capital Land Commercial Trust, which obviously later merged with Capital Land Integrated Commercial Trust. So Fraser's Centrepoint Trust, it's been listed for some time, I think July 2006. The IPO price was $1.03, according to Bloomberg data, have shown that it's paid more than $1.80 per unit in distribution since its IPO, and that brings its annualized total return since listing to around 10%. It initially had just three suburban malls that were combined value at the time around $900 million, but it's grown to be having an AUM now of around $6.5 billion with 9 retail malls and 1 office building. It's also been quite active on the capital management side. Its acquisitions and divestments since the end of FY18 have been a standout. It's recently increased its initial 25.5% acquisition of Nex back in Feb 2023 to now a 50% interest. And that Nex mall is the largest suburban mall in the whole of northeast of Singapore by net lettable area. I think Serangoon Bus and Serangoon MRT will take you there. Well, it's where you got to go to. Mm. The stock itself, it's ranked as a top 30 stock by trading turnover already this year. And I think still ranks among the 15 stocks that have booked the most net institutional inflows so far this year.
I see. And before we let you go here, Jeff, is there anything else investors should be looking out for?
Yeah, I think the main one will be the MAS Survey of Professional Forecasters. Three things I think that are going to be important. I mean, there are a lot of important things, but the three things I would be looking for are the downside risks. And I think last time, the December outlook suggested spillovers from an external growth slowdown were the most cited downside risk for our domestic outlook, and that was 81% of respondents identifying that one. So let's see if that's up or down. On the policy front, the monetary policy front here, last time we had 13% of the respondents thinking we'd have a reduction in the slope of the Singapore nominal effective exchange policy band in April. And I think 22% of the respondents anticipated a reduction in July. So let's look at the odds there, if they're up or down. And I think importantly for the stock market too, for this year, back in December, the majority of the respondents in the survey, that is 57%, anticipated higher corporate profitability this year versus before. Now, that was up significantly from 33% 3 months prior when they last did the survey back in when they had done the survey back in September. So that moved up quite a bit. And let's have a look after the earnings season if that's going down a little bit or maintaining or moving and so forth. So I think some earnings, Del Monte Pacific releases its third quarter, which actually actually ends in January. Mm. Results, that'll be after the close next Friday, though. I think in the preceding second quarter, they did report Del Monte Pacific had faced a tough second quarter and also had those higher interest rate charges affecting the group's bottom line, which, as we said before, has been on the back of the higher interest rates across the world. And the stock is also trading around a 52-week low at the moment, I think at 8.9 cents. So market will be watching that one as well. And then when the Fed Reserve we talked about today, I think it's going to be pretty quiet on the Fed Reserve front because there is a blackout period, obviously, ahead of the 20th of March FOMC.
I see. Well, thank you so much, Jeff, for your time and your insights today.
That's an absolute pleasure. Thanks, Hongbin.
Thank you. We've been speaking with Jeff Howie, who's a market strategist at the SGX. I'm Hongbin Jung, and this has been Market View with your market wrap of the week. Stay with Money FM 89.3.
Before acting on the information on Money FM, please consider if it's suitable for your own investment objectives, financial situation, and risk tolerance. To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at audio.sg or download the audio app. That's AWEDIO, audio at the App Store and Google Play.